In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, we read in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now you can look that up, you can read it over a couple of times, because it's a very potent verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. The question is, what do you believe God means by the unclean thing? And incidentally, the unclean thing happens to be the title of my message. While you think about what God may consider unclean, I'll say a short prayer to welcome you in. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to deliver a message, Lord, that you placed in my heart. I pray, Lord, that those who hear it will hear it, Lord, with open ears and open hearts, Lord. And when all is said and done, Lord, that you be glorified through it, and that the people who hear it will be satisfied and will want to know more about you, Lord, more than they do now if they are saved. And if they're not saved, Lord, then they will make that decision for Christ that will bring them into your presence. For I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Amen. The answer, now the answer to the unclean thing is, well, actually, anything that is unclean, right? Spiritually speaking, God is not saying you can't go outside and play in the mud and get all dirty, or you can't pick up dirty clothes and put them in a hamper, or you can't wash the dog, he's not saying, that's not what he means by unclean things, right? He's talking about a three-letter word. You know what it is? Do you know what it is? Yes, that's right. Sin. Sin. That's what he's talking about. Ugly, dirty, old sin. And in case you don't know what sin is, although I think most people do, it's anything. Sin is anything that's an offense to a holy and righteous God. That's what sin is. Anything that's an offense to a holy and righteous God. Over in Ephesians 5, in verse 2, we read, "And walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." For a sweet-smelling savor. Remember when your mom had a big roast in the oven, and it's really, you got the aroma, it starts smelling, you know, throughout the house. Boy, did it smell good, especially if you were hungry. Especially if you just came home from a hard day's work, right? Sure did. A sweet-smelling savor. That's what it is. Pleasing to the senses, right? Oh, makes my mouth water thinking about it. And that's how pleasing we are to God when we give ourselves over to him. A sweet-smelling savor. You get it? Now, if you consider yourself to be a Christian, yet you just go out and you run with the world, do the things you want aside from attending the odd Sunday service once in a while, and then according to what we just read in the scriptures, you could hardly label yourself a Christian, could you? Huh? No, of course not. I mean, does not the very word Christian mean in Christ? In Christ? Would Christ partake of the sins? sins of the world? I don't think so. Allow me to give you my own example. You can read my testimony, by the way. It's on my website under resume. When I became a Christian, the first thing I had to do was to leave the Catholic Church. Yeah, I was a Catholic. For 40-some years, I was a Catholic. Well, I'm glad I didn't die when I was a Catholic. I'd have been a goner. I thought I was saved and going to heaven, and all the rest of the world was going to hell. Oh. Anyway, when I became a Christian, the first thing I did was leave the Catholic Church. Actually, I had no choice. God practically dragged me out the door. And the second thing was to get properly baptized. Properly baptized according to the Scriptures. And the third thing was to hold fast to my King James authorized 1611 Bible and proclaim it as the true word of the living God. Yeah. The true word of the living God. You see, if you turn in the King James 1611 to Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, here's what you'll read. For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. That's a long time. Now, since I was looking, I thought I'd try out a Baptist church that wasn't independent, just King James only, but a Baptist church. Well, more out of curiosity, really. Well, it was well stocked, and the preacher used several different Bible versions to please his financial givers, if you get my drift. You know what I mean, right? Financial givers. And this caused, well, a lot of confusion. I mean, the people were friendly enough, but I soon found out that we did not agree on various scriptures, because we had so many different Bibles in the mix. But the congregation were so friendly, it was hard to depart from them. So I kind of hung in there for a spell. Then one day the church of many Bible versions, I call it, decided to hold a church golf tournament. And I am a golf guy. I love golf. I don't get out to play it as much as I'd like to, but I love to go out and play. Getting older now. Oh, yes, sir. Anyway, couldn't wait to get on the links. But within the hour, out on the links, I was under total conviction by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And I was ready to leave the game I loved. I was ready to leave. To walk off the course. The same threesome who made me a foursome and made me feel good about attending their church, well, they had a flip side to them I never knew about. For starters, they smoked. Now, you might say, what's wrong with smoking? I know lots of people from days of old who smoked cigars and they were saved and going to heaven. Okay, fine. I'll leave that with you. Anyway, for one thing, they smoked. That bothered me because I gave up smoking when I got saved. And they had, this is the one that really did it. They had alcohol delivered to them on the course. This guy'd drive out with a cart, in his cart, and he'd have a freezer on the cart full of beer and other kinds of drinks. Well, I'm going to leave it right there. You get my message, right? You're getting it. But shortly thereafter, when I saw all this happening, it was a moving time. Moving time, I tell you, for this old boy. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it kept running through my head, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, if you back up to verse 14, the scripture says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Do you see where I'm headed with this message? It's sad to say, but I'd venture to guess in many, if not all, the mega churches today, easy believism is the rule of thumb. Oh, yeah. A lot of today's mega churches, well, they're more of a place to meet and greet, but not to preach the word and pray. They used to be a long time ago. To mention fellowship in a mega church is to assume partyship as well. There's nothing wrong with getting together. I don't mean that. But in the church, you've got to be a little careful what you lift to your lips. The Word of God uses the word unclean or uncleanness nearly 100 times in the Scriptures, from Leviticus through to Revelation. And this doesn't mean bathroom tub clean either. Over in Isaiah 52, verse 11, the commandment is to depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. We who are the vessels of the Lord are commanded to be clean, right? Holy clean. The word says, be holy, for I am holy, right? Right? And here comes the warning in Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Wow, that's powerful stuff. That's Ephesians 5, 5. You can read it again yourself. King James only now. And verse 6 really points the finger at many of today's mega churches. Oh, yeah. Where they attempt, and I say attempt, to make God's word easy to digest, palatable. They do that by entertaining to the mainstream. In Luke 4, verse 36, we read, and they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with what authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits to come out. Or he commanded the unclean spirits and they come out. I repeat, the name of my message is the unclean thing. When a holy and righteous God mentions an unclean thing, the reference is always to that which is contrary to Scripture. Even more so than washing your feet after walking through the mud. You know, there's a lot of so-called preachers out there that are nothing more than wolves. Wolves. In sheep's clothing. Some of them will bore you to sleep right in your pew. Others will preach big fat words so you'll need a dictionary to understand. Along with your concordance, of course, to keep pace. Then there are those who like to keep you entertained. so you'll feel good and glad you came. Then we have the screamers and the criers and the dancers and the acrobats and, of course, the spellbinders who have you rehearsing for the walking dead. You've been there, huh? Someone once said that the biggest churches today are the ones that never call a spade, or a sinner, or forget the spade, but a sinner is a sinner, no matter how you look at it, front, back, or sideways. Sin is sin. Right? Okay. Now, hear me, preacher man. If your church has money to burn and you are strayed from God's word, then save it to stoke the flames of hell. Save it to stoke the flames of hell. As yours truly, I don't rightly call a cathedral a true house of God, lest the Holy Spirit as a preeminence, of course. Then even an open field will do, if that's the case. It's not the building you build in. It's the building you build upon. There are just too many on church-like things happening in today's churches. Really. And not enough of God's word being preached. The last church I visited like that before I got independence, they'd preach maybe 10 minutes, 15 at the utmost, on the scriptures out of whatever Bible they were using that Sunday. And the rest was all like a, what's going on in the ladies' club, or what are the guys doing for entertainment next week? And then they'd have a rock band on the stage, and he'd be there bopping and a-bopping like he was learning something, but it weren't church stuff. But they didn't want to hurt their feelings because their coffers were more important than God's word, it would seem. Like I said, there are too many on church-like things happening and not enough of God's word being preached. On the other hand, there are those preachers who are like tin Lizzies and Model Ts. Once they get cranked up, wah, all they do is leave the congregation exhausted. Exhausted. Have you got that? When they get cranked up, all they do is leave the congregation exhausted. How is it at your church? Huh? Is it a place of amusement or worship? Is it a place where God is brought to the forefront or left mostly in the background? Is it where your up-and-coming family rock group go to practice their worldly music? Is that what it is? Maybe it doubles for a bingo hall like some of the Catholic churches do. My friends, it's not how big your church building is that has nothing to do with it. I go to a very small church building. Our congregation is small. But we're close to God. We hold fast to the Word of God. We speak vehemently about the Word of God. It's the Word of God that excites us. We don't need any outside entertainment. Oh, we'll sing in the choirs, yes. Godly songs. But, you know, When you use the place that you proclaim to be God's house for anything other than godly things, you got a problem. You got a real problem. I'm telling you that right now. And that's why your house, as beautiful as it looks, as many red carpets it may have going up and down the aisles, as lovely as the curtains that open and close when you're introducing the various acts, well, they don't mean a thing to God. Not a thing at all. You see, God's house is a clean house. A clean house. And if you turn it any other way, you're touching or dealing with an unclean thing. Like I said, friends, it's not how big your church is. It's how big your love is for the blessed and holy Savior that it proclaims to house. If Christ is not first in your church, then he's not first in your life. I want to thank you for listening today. I pray that this message has left some gentle but emphatic thoughts on your mind and heart. That you'd listen to it again maybe and make sure that what you hear, you're hearing properly. You see, God loves you. And he wants you to be a part of his family. And if you're not sure about your salvation, I ask you to examine yourself today. The Word of God says, we'll know you by your fruits. Be sure you're a Christian. And if you don't get your prayers answered today, don't go wallowing somewhere, crying and getting all worked up. You know what? The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. You think every time I pray, God instantly answers my prayer? Well, he might if I'm falling from the sky so I don't get killed, hitting the ground or something. But no, God wants you to keep on talking to him. So that's what he means when he says, pray without ceasing. Will you pray without ceasing? You can pray anywhere at any time. It doesn't have to be loud. It can be very closed, enclosed. I pray for you all and ask you to give your life to Christ today. Make sure. Don't put it off. God bless you. Amen.